Oh, this is intimidating. We're glad to be here because we spent the morning wandering around Guam looking for you. The hidden gem of Guam, this church. So honestly, I can say I don't know where I am, except I'm on the island of Guam. But we made it, so we're really grateful. I do bring greetings to you. Chris Matthews is also here. He's our executive director, and so we bring you greetings from snowy, icy New Jersey, Schooley's Mountain, New Jersey. So I will say that the other day it was a little bit warm, and I was thinking, gosh, it'll be nice to be home in the cool. So my wife, who I've encouraged many times to join me on the mission field in warm places, has always said she will not go where it's hot. So needless to say, it's been a beautiful time here, and I am very appreciative. I've been greatly received by the community here on Guam, by the churches, and I just want to say that I am grateful for that and to see how God is working here through the churches, through the bodies, a body that are here on the island. This morning, I would like to share a little bit out of John chapter 14. So if you have a Bible or if you have some electronic device, and it's not an airplane mode, if you would just turn to John chapter 16. We're going to be specifically looking at 13, verses 13 and 14, but I'm going to sandwich it between 12 and 15. So I'd like to go there and just kind of read that to start off and then begin with prayer. This is Jesus as he's speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly bow before you. We quiet our hearts and our spirits. Father, when we ask that you would take this word, that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit, that you would implant that word in our hearts, and that it would bear fruit in our lives, Father. I pray for each one of us that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that we would grow up into you, Father, become stronger in our faith, closer to you, and experience more of your love, Father, and that we would be able to take that, Father, and share it with the world, starting here in Guam. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I do see a clock on the back of the wall, on the back wall there. I just wanted to let you know I probably won't pay attention to it. Sorry. But besides, my eyesight is such that I can't really tell what time it is anyway. But as we start today, and as I looked at this, this is a verse that God gave to me this year. And I know you've probably heard this from other people, how at the beginning of the year or at a certain point during their life, God will give them a scripture verse, and they'll kind of take that and hold on to it, contemplate it, pray over it, and look to God saying, "What are you trying to say to me?" Well, this is the verses that God gave me this year. I wasn't actually looking for anything specific, but it's just I came across this very early on in the year as I was reading, and the Lord just dropped this into my spirit. And so I've been meditating on it, thinking about it, praying over it, and I'm really kind of excited to see how God is going to use this scripture in my life this year, to see the things that he's going to do in me and through me. And so as a part of that, I'm sharing this with you this morning, and I would encourage you to always be looking to the Father and asking, you know, "Lord, what are you speaking to me, where I am in my life," and seeking to know what he has for you. So as you know, in the context of this scripture verse in John, this is the last time that Jesus has an opportunity to speak with the disciples before his crucifixion. So he's having this long conversation with them, and he actually prays for them during this time. And then they step out of here, they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and we all know what happens the next day. So this is the last time before the crucifixion. For the disciples, they came to Jerusalem with Jesus, realizing that the danger of the situation. And in fact, their desire was, do you really want to go to Jerusalem? You know how dangerous it is. And he says, I must go. He sets his face like a stone to go to Jerusalem. And they say, well, if he's going to die and go to Jerusalem, let's go with him. Now, actually, we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, it really didn't work out that way because they all scattered. But they follow him here to Jerusalem. And so here he is. He's encouraging them. He's giving them the last word. We see him wash their feet, and he encourages them to serve one another. But the reality is, for them, they do not have a clue of what's about to happen. Their whole world is about to be blown apart the very next day. And so here they are hearing from him. They're hearing these words. He's encouraging them with these words, but they really don't understand it. And they really don't understand it in the context about what is about to happen. Afterwards, as they go along, the Holy Spirit's going to come along, and he's going to bring all this back up and begin to give them understanding. But at this point in time, they're clueless. They're absolutely clueless. And so that's kind of the context of this. And he starts off as he is now beginning to pass the ministry on to his disciples. He's been training them for 3 years. He sent them out and had them actually minister. And he's been teaching them and raising them up for the job that he has for them. What they don't realize is that he's about to hand it over to them. I remember part of my background in training is years ago I was a paramedic and worked in the 911 system and also worked in a hospital in an emergency room. But I remember when I finished my training to become a paramedic, I went to work one morning and my boss gave me the keys to the drug box and said, here you go, call me if you need me. And I was off. And so from that time on, I was off and running as a paramedic in charge of an ambulance, in charge of the scenes that I would be and the patients that I would be taking care of. And so from one moment I was not that, the next moment I was, and I was beginning to do it. This is kind of the situation that they are going to be in. They've been with Jesus, but he's all right, been right there with them. He's been guiding and directing them. Now he's passing that ministry on to him. He's going to send them the Holy Spirit, which is going to help them and is going to be in them and working through them, but he's passing it on to them. And these are his last words as he says that. And so he's praying for them, he's talking with them, and he comes up to this and he says in verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And so as he's doing this, he puts before them, and because I'm a good old homiletic person, I have 3 points, and they all begin with P. So he puts before them the provision. He says, ask. So he's pushing them as they come to this point, as they begin to step out, he says to them, ask anything. He doesn't put any parameters around it in what he says right there. It's anything. Now, you and I know from Scripture that there are parameters around what we can ask. God puts parameters around there. And so we understand that from here. But here to them, he's saying to them, in light of the fact that I'm going away, and in light of the fact that he who believes will do greater things than I, he says, ask anything. He sets it out before them as, and I don't really like to use this because it's not quite true, but in a sense, it's almost a blank check. I don't know if you've ever had anybody give you a blank check and say, here's this, I know you have this need, fill it in. But in a sense, that's what he's saying to them. It is within a context, but it's almost like a blank check. You can ask anything. And so my question to you as we start off today is, what are you asking God for? And we can go two ways with that. We can dream small and ask for little, or we can dream big and ask for a lot. So what are you asking God for? So he lays that out in front of us. It's an open invitation. It's an invitation to do greater works than he. We know and realize that that's within a certain, but also with that, he also gives the parameters. Now, if you're thinking about what you need, or if you're thinking about your life and just those daily needs that we have, other scripture speaks to that. And so we know that God just doesn't say, you know, if you want to, Lord, I need a big house, I need a boat, I need a garage, I need this, I need that. God doesn't give us that kind of freedom. Now, you can ask, but he's not obligated to give any of that. James tells us that. James says, you know, you ask to consume it upon yourself, and so you don't get the answer. So we know that. And then in Jesus also in Matthew, during the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you know, don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. The Gentiles do that, but your Father knows what you need, and he's going to provide. Seek first the kingdom of God. And so as we look at this, this is not just a blanket statement that you can just ask him for anything, to consume it upon yourself. But in the context, it's asking him in relationship to doing the greater things. Ministry. This is where it's come. And so he's put parameters around it. And he said, you can ask me anything. Everything is on the table for you to ask for. But it's in the context of the greater works that you're doing, and it's in his name. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm asking for something in Jesus' name, it's going to qualify it. I'm not going to just ask for anything in my name, but when I'm asking in Jesus' name, then behind that is the idea that I'm representing him, I'm representing what he's doing, and I'm giving myself to him and allowing him to work in me and through me. So it's in his name. But it's also not just in his name, it's for the glory of the Father. He says here, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So as we ask in his name, we're also asking that what we receive from him will bring glory to the Father. So that really kind of puts us in within the parameters of what we're asking. It's a wide open table, but there are some parameters around it. And then the promise that he makes is that I will do it. John takes up a similar theme in 1 John chapter 5, where he says, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if he hears you, then we know we have what we have asked. And so there's this great promise with this, that he will hear us and he will answer us and he will fulfill this. And so Jesus really kind of lays it out before us, a great, tremendous promise. It is sandwiched between two things. Between the will, you know, doing the works of God, and in verse 15 where he says, you know, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we have that desire to take on and to fulfill the works that Jesus begun, to allow him to use us, to glorify the Son and the Father through us, and to do great things for him. But we also, our desire is that we will in love follow his commandments. And so it's kind of sandwiched between those two ideas. And so if I go back to my first statement, first question, my question is, what are you asking God for? God has laid a wide open table before you. He's given to you just as he gave to the apostles that ministry of reconciliation, ministry of representing him, ministry of loving the world, ministry of giving and serving others to draw them into the kingdom. He's given that to them, and he's also given those to us. And so in light of that, he says, ask me whatever you will, and I will give it to you. So in light of that, and so I say, what are you asking for? Me personally, because of this scripture verse, I'm asking two things of God this year. Number one, and I would challenge you to do this. Number one, I'm asking for a deeper faith. If you are a reader of C.S. Lewis and you like his books, I do enjoy his, but I read the Narnia series, and in the very last book of the series called The Final Battle, it's kind of an allegory, and you kind of see within this world, you see them kind of come to the very end of the world and then be transported into heaven. And so the scene is of them being in heaven in this great open field. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Their bodies are renewed. All the pain and suffering, all of that's taken with. And they're in this field, and they're looking towards the goal of being right there in the presence of God. They're looking towards that, and one of the animals says, further up, further in. And they start running towards the goal. And he keeps saying, further up, further in. Wherever we are in our walk with the Lord, there's always the potential to go further up and further in. And when we do get to heaven and we do stand before the presence of Jesus and God, we still have the opportunity to go further up and further in. And so I challenge you in your own personal walk with the Lord this year that you would go further up and further in, that you would dig deep into the Word of God, not just so that you would have this information, but that it would be used by God and by the Holy Spirit in your life to go deep into your faith and your walk with the Lord. We do know that as our faith goes, so does our walk with the Lord. The Christian life is nothing more than the outward expression of an inward reality. So it's what's in us is expressed outward. Unfortunately for us, we tend to try to reverse that. We try to do things in order to be something. But what the Bible challenges us with is we be something, and therefore we do something. And so I would challenge you to do that, to go further up, further in, to ask God, Lord, this year, help me to draw closer to you. Build my faith. Draw me in so that I'm into your very presence and that my life becomes the expression of what you're doing inside me. The other thing, as part of the ministry of Liebenzell USA and being involved in missions, our desire is that we would grow our missions, that we would grow it here in Guam, that we would grow it also in the islands, and that we would grow it across the world. And so we've set for ourselves a huge challenge. We would like to see that God would raise up 100 more missionaries over the next 5 years. That's sounds impossible, sounds unreasonable. I don't know why I came up with that, because I can't do it. But when I look at this and I see where God says, in his name, for his glory, ask me anything, I see we can do this because of him. We can see God raise up 100 more missionaries around that will go around the world and take the gospel and impact the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. But we can do that not because of us, but because of him, because of his promise. And so I've taken a big step this year in believing for those two things. And so I'm excited. I'm excited for my personal walk with the Lord, that I will see some amazing growth in that, and that my life at the end of the year will be dramatically different from the beginning of the year in a good way as I walk with him. But the other thing is I'm looking to see the beginnings of God fulfilling that request that he would allow us as Liebenzell USA to raise up 100 more missionaries to be a part of our ministry. And so I throw that before him and trust him, knowing that if he hears me, he'll answer. Knowing that if it's for his honor and for his glory, he'll answer. And so I challenge you in your own life, in your own walk, because the Lord is working in each and every one of you. The Lord has put desires in each and one of your hearts. It was so exciting to see what God is doing through Crew with the universities. It's just, you know, it's amazing when you see all that he's done. And so I'm excited about that. But I'm also excited because this year is a new year, and God has plans, and he's working in each and every one of you. So personally, he is working in you. But then also, personally, he's working through you. So I would challenge you to allow him to work through you. Ask for big things. Now, like I said in the beginning, he gives us kind of a wide open invitation here. And you can dream small and do small. Or you can dream big and trust God to do the big things. So I really encourage you. I'm grateful for this church. We have a number of our team that come here. You've been a blessing to them, and you continue to be a blessing to the island. Even though you're hidden, you continue to be a blessing to the island. And so I just want to say thank you, encourage you. Let's pray. Father, as we once again just look to you, I would just pray for my brothers and sisters here, and I would ask two things, Father. Number one, that you would draw them to yourself in a new, expanded, exciting way this year, that each one of them would see their faith grow deep into you, Father. And then, Father, I pray that for each one of them, Lord, in their personal lives, in their lives in the context of this church, in the lives of the ones that the different ministries that they're involved in, Father, that you would be in them and working through them, and that we would see great things happen because of you and because of your Spirit. And that through all of it, Father, through all of it, that you would be honored and glorified, and that many more people would be in the kingdom because of what you do through us here. And we'll give you all the glory and praise. We thank you so very much, Father, for calling us to yourself. We thank you so very much for filling us. We thank you so very much that you do take care of us in every area of our life. You do provide for our every need, Father. But we also thank that in your sovereign will, you have chosen to use us. And so we submit ourselves and offer ourselves to you again. In Jesus' name, amen.